Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Audrey. So I'm pretty pumped up about tonight's episode because a few weeks ago, we were both on location at the Facebook Reality Labs open house. We did bring the old MFU, the mobile field unit, on with us because we wanted to grab an interview with Chuck Hoover, who runs the lab, in order to just get a little more taste as for what's going on there and how they plan to grow and learn more about what they're doing. And we're going to have that as our first segment tonight. But what really got my attention at the event was, so you were part of this press panel that was going on where they had media in there kind of asking about what's going on with Pittsburgh's technology sector, and that everyone thinks it's very cool that there's companies like Facebook and Google and Duolingo that are expanding in the city. But what's been coming up a lot, and what you've been talking a lot about ever since you've been at the Tech Council for the past 12 years, is how do we get more diversity across our technology sector? I know it's always been near and dear to your heart.
Listen, it's on everyone's mind, right? Everyone is talking about it, and everyone is saying, you know, where did we go wrong? What, you know, we could look backwards all we want.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of academic theories, and there's lots of behaviors that many of us have displayed over time. Many of us are just heads down trying to do work, and when we recruit people, we just look in a certain sphere.
And you got the skills, you're in. Right,
exactly. And now, you know, we're really looking at ourselves from a societal impact and saying, you know, wait, we can't have a bifurcated community. That's one of the things I love about Pittsburgh, is that we can have these conversations and say the grit, the working class, was the most pivotal piece of Pittsburgh.
I like that.
So when you have – so we talk about internships, right? There's this whole – you know, term of...
I mean, that was your first response to some of the questions from the reporters.
Right.
It was around that what we're doing, what everyone should be doing, is really investing in interns, and not just interns, but interns at all grade levels.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, since I've been at the Tech Council, I've brought in a lot of high school students in. I even had a middle school kid with me one summer for a couple of weeks.
We did, yes.
And we now, you know, have, you know, an intern through the Nazareth School. And he's been with us as his third year.
I know. I
can't believe I don't want to lose him.
Yeah, when you said Jamal was here for 3 years, I was like, oh, my God.
I know.
Yeah, he's gotten
a lot
taller.
He's like family.
He's gotten a lot taller over the past 3 years.
Yeah, he's just helped us on stuff. And we've just learned from him just, like, everyday stuff by having conversations with him. I mean, I don't have a teenager anymore. And plus, I didn't have, you know, when your teenager's your own kid, they have different conversations.
Well, Jamal's made me less afraid of teenagers now.
I know. but when you have, when you don't have, you know, your own kid as a teenager, they talk to you differently than their parents,
exactly,
et cetera.
Of course.
But my whole premise is that imagine, and this wouldn't even be hard, it wouldn't cost money, that we... Every business, like a business that has more than 20, 25 people.
Yeah.
You just take an intern starting from middle school to high school.
Yeah, so from like 6th grade up, 7th grade up.
Right.
Yeah.
And just two afternoons a week.
Right, okay.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Not to interfere with their sports, not to, you know, interfere with extracurricular activities. But it's like a requirement. I want it to be a requirement.
Yeah, bring them in.
Bring them in. It's a requirement for the student. It's a requirement for the family. It's a requirement for the business. I don't care. Figure out some clever ways to make this work. You know, I do it because I just think that it's so important to have external perspective. When you work, like, in the world that we work in, Jonathan, you know, it's really easy to just get so monocular.
Oh, yeah.
And you think you know. But when you bring in different perspectives and you have to adjust, you also have to adjust your language and you have to adjust the way that you.
I can't curse as much.
Yeah,
it's
you
terrible.
Cannot curse as much anymore. Listen,
it's a good
hire
thing.
An intern if you want all your staff never to curse anymore.
Exactly,
because
right.
Then you'll make sure. But what we're doing is we're exposing people to the work world and the new world in a way that they couldn't. Don't be afraid that you don't have anything for the intern to do. Don't be afraid. Let them shadow you.
Just hang out.
I've had people shadow me.
Right, just shadow just to see what's going on.
Yeah, I've had people who've said to me, can I just shadow you, that are just trying to think about their world.
Right.
It's not hard to institutionalize this.
And I want one to get me
known.
Coffee, though.
That's why you don't get a personal intern.
Okay. I wanted one, though.
I would like to see that be part. There's two things I've always wished for Pittsburgh. One is that every person that graduates high school out of this region has had an international experience. You've heard me say that.
Yes.
It's
not Canada, right?
No, it's not Canada, and it's not going, to party in Cancun.
Okay.
But it's
I was going to say, got that one nailed.
No. But what I'm saying
I've had an international experience.
Get everyone out. That should be our commitment.
I like
similar
that.
To like
Shake
the Pittsburgh
up.
Promise as
right.
a school.
Could we
Same
work with the Pittsburgh Promise on this? Could you know
we,
people there?
We might. I don't
Could
know.
You shake people
We'd
up
like
over
to
there?
Get people into college. I mean, that's what the Promise
is
doing. But my point is for southwestern Pennsylvania.
Right.
And the second thing is that people, every person by the time that they graduate high school has had experience working in the business world. Some
Absolutely.
Experience,
yeah.
just being an intern.
Just seeing how the real world works.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And an intern can mean anything from maybe being assigned a project or maybe just job shadowing.
Right.
Or maybe being a part of staff meetings.
Well, I think
you've seen me. I've brought them in staff meetings.
Oh, yeah. No,
just to sit,
just to
listen, and then I debrief with them after that.
So they kind of understand what happened and what went down.
Do you remember years ago when we did a tour?
A tour.
One day.
Okay.
And you showed a bunch of kids
mm-hmm.
How to do a magazine layout.
Oh, yeah. That was
remember
that?
Fun.
That
you
was,
showed
that was
them
fun.
Like how to lay out a magazine,
yeah.
what you do. We had it on
showed,
the projector.
I showed some students how to podcast a few months
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, you showed yeah. some. That was great.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget one of the kids at the end of the day. They were with us for the whole day.
The whole day.
Junior magazine.
Yeah.
And one of the kids, we went around the room and
they said he felt sorry for me, right?
No, they did not. One kid said to me, so, how did you become a CEO? What makes you capable of being
really?
A CEO?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like, who are you?
So what'd you tell him?
Yeah.
Shut
but
up.
It was great. No, I'm not going to tell you what I told
okay.
him out here. Stay tuned next time.
I but like it.
We did. It was great because he probably, who were his role models?
Right.
Right? And so afterwards, I remember just, talking to him after that.
So
and he's
cool.
like, I just thought it was sort of cool, a woman running this organization. I never really think of that.
See, he opened his mind, man.
Right.
That's
and it was
awesome.
Just, and he was so honest about it.
Apparently,
but
yes. Very open kid. Very open.
Seeing the world from their eyes is critical if we are going to support innovation and we're going to be productive. And we're going to understand what the talent gaps are.
Great stuff.
I feel like
yeah.
it's a gift. I feel like it's a gift to us.
Exactly.
Some people think it's certainly a gift for the interns and the students,
yeah.
but I feel like it's a gift to us.
It's a good way to look at it. Very cool stuff. That's why I'm glad I asked you about this because
yeah.
later on tonight, actually, our next segment after we go to break is going to be Facebook talking to Chuck Hoover. We also have Scott Pipitone from the Pipitone Group hanging out with us, talking about the latest technologies behind marketing, all that kind of fun stuff. And, Audrey, I had a special podcast I did in the Huntington Bank podcast studio with our friends from British Airways, from Legal Sifter, and from England's Department of International Trade about that trade mission we took back in October, where we took a handful of tech startups to take a tour of England and look at all the business opportunities
what a great
that are there. So
what
have,
a great trip.
Yeah, we have a little recap on that, and we'll hear from Legal Sifter about what they got out of that trip, which I think is very exciting. So that's all part of tonight's show. Can't wait to put this sucker into high gear. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We are from the Pittsburgh Technology Council, that is for sure. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. Well, Audrey, we're back here on Tech Vibe Radio, actually on the scene at Facebook Reality Labs here in the Strip District. And you know me, I get super fired up when we get on location because I get to pull the old MFU out, the mobile field unit, and grab the interviews where they happen. I know, Audrey, you had some opening remarks here at this grand opening, and just city officials, you name it, they were here today because everyone in Pittsburgh is pumped about Facebook really investing in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, these are exciting times. I think that what I want to do is just really jump in and have a chance to talk to Chuck Hoover, who's here with us, and he really runs this operations. But, you know, getting an inside look in terms of what's happening here, it's actually so different than some of the other companies that have opened up. And I'm going to let Chuck sort of give us a little bit of a teaser. So, hi, Chuck.
Hi. We're glad to have you here. First, give us a little bit about your background and obviously what you're doing here with Facebook, and give us like the nickel tour.
Sure, yeah. Thanks for the introduction, Audrey. My name's Chuck Hoover. I'm the general manager here at Facebook Reality Labs Pittsburgh. And I've been in Pittsburgh for most of my career. I've been working in Pittsburgh for about 20 years now. I originally started out in architecture and design and then moved into technology and entertainment. So I guess the biggest chunk of my last two decades here in Pittsburgh have been in video games and interactive theme park attractions. But a couple of years ago, as the Pittsburgh Facebook Lab was expanded, I started chatting with them about the work they were doing in augmented and virtual reality, which lined up with a little bit of the entertainment projects that I had worked on previously. And it seemed like an incredible opportunity. So I jumped over here, and it's been an incredible ride ever since as we've grown and expanded. And today we're announcing our new unveiling of District 15, which is our largest Facebook facility in Pittsburgh, with about 100,000 square feet and room for 250 developers to give us plenty of space to grow.
And so why District 15?
Yeah, so I guess there's a few reasons. In terms of our organization within Facebook, our work really evolves around creating the future of community and connection. And our team's built some amazing prototypes and progress toward that end so far. And that's really led to more and more investment from Facebook in our team and in our long-term research. And for us, we really needed a place to expand and grow. And we wanted a spot that was really central to the communities here in Pittsburgh. And, you know, the Strip District is a place that's growing but has space but is still close to the city. And it's been incredible being down here with so much history that's in the Strip District and the other technology companies that are here, too. It really feels like a good tech community. And the opportunity was right to jump in with everybody else.
So how's the staff reacting to the new space? I mean, we're in the space, are getting a tour, and we were seeing some of the people at work, and everyone just seems like energized and fired up, and it's got to be a great place, everybody.
Yeah, it's been really good for us. There's actually three Facebook facilities in Pittsburgh now. Our previous office was in Shenley Plaza, which had a lot of energy being by the universities, and there was always an interesting feel of that place. And we still are occupying that office and working out of there. There's another Facebook facility on CMU's campus, and then this is the largest and newest one. I think what really people appreciate here is feeling so close and connected to the city. For anybody who's seen the building, we have large glass windows that look out, you know, around the river.
Peering out them right now.
Yeah, exactly. It's beautiful out there. And just having the views, and like, you really feel like you're working in kind of this glass box right in the heart of Pittsburgh. And I think it makes us feel a lot more connected to the city than when we were a little bit further away.
And so, you know, many people don't understand what those words mean. So in terms of the work that you're doing, so articulate that.
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I guess, you know, a lot of people think about Facebook as kind of the core Facebook experiences that are out there that we're all accustomed to using. Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, those sorts of online mobile phone device experiences. What our lab is really focused on is, what do things like Facebook look like in the decades to come, far into the future? Specifically, when we talk about leveraging new technology platforms. So once we've moved past mobile phones, what's next? And to us, that vision is augmented and virtual reality, which are ways to experience different realities than our own using virtual reality headsets. So some of these are commercially available now. Facebook, through our company Oculus, creates the Oculus Rift and the Oculus Quest, and these are consumer products that you can buy off the shelf right now.
It's all piles of them in boxes downstairs.
Yeah,
it's kind of fun.
Yeah, we have a bunch here, and we all use them. And they're incredible products. Really, virtual reality has come back into the mainstream over the last 3 or 4 years, driven by leaders like Facebook and Oculus. And we really view those as the next computing platforms, as the next evolution of smartphones and PCs. We really view virtual and augmented reality as the next step. And then when we think about, well, what does a company like Facebook do when those new technology platforms are out? Our mission has always been to connect people through those other experiences that I mentioned. But what does that mean when these experiences are able to augment or adjust reality? And when we think about that, probably the deepest mission we have is connecting people in a way that's just like face-to-face conversation. You know, the three of us are chatting right now, and we're in the same space together. And we could have done this over the phone, but there's information that gets transferred between us sitting in the same space. It's the same reason you fly home to visit family, or you travel to go see friends, or you fly across the country on a business trip. We can do all of these things over video conference systems or the phone just as easily, and all the factual information still comes through. But body language, micro expressions, facial expressions, emotions, eye contact, none of that happens unless you're really present with people. So really, we posit that to change and invent the next communication platform, we need to be able to replicate that across any distance, to evolve just transmitting video of ourselves or audio of ourselves, but to really be able to be present physically using a virtual avatar, a virtual representation of yourself that can then be anywhere with anyone. And that opens up all sorts of interesting futures where, you know, you may not need to live in a particular area just because of your job, where you may be able to keep and maintain friendships when people move away in much deeper ways than you can today.
And this is all happening here in Pittsburgh. And as you described, it's going to take a series of miracles to actually have this all come through, and you're starting to solve those miracles here. That, to me, is exciting.
So here we are wrapping up this interview, and I'm actually sitting in one of the rooms at Facebook, and I'm looking over, and I can see the Pennsylvania Railroad Fruit Auction and Sales Building. And when I think of a real Phoenix rising and the juxtaposition of everything that's happening here, I just want to thank Facebook. Thank Facebook for making it happen. So thank you, Chuck, for the time that you have been at Facebook, and a toast to the future, because I know there's amazing things as we surge ahead.
Well, thank you, Audrey. Yeah, I mean, I think it's thanks to work like the Pittsburgh Technology Council and other organizations here that have really made Pittsburgh a viable place for companies like Facebook to come into. There's really an incredible talent bed here, an incredible opportunity to build and grow, and that's why we're here.
If you're driving through the Strip District here and you just look right across on 15th Street, you see District 15 where this is all happening, and it is just absolutely amazing. And it was so much fun being part of this today, Chuck, having a big crowd here to welcome Facebook, and to know that you're solving some of the world's toughest problems right here in Pittsburgh is absolutely amazing stuff. Can't thank you enough for the invite and taking time to talk with us today.
Welcome back. I'm glad you're spending a good part of your Wednesday evening hanging out with us here on Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Audrey, technology just cuts across everything, right? Before we hit the record button here, we're talking to our guest, Scott Pipitone from Pipitone Group. And we're just like, our minds are kind of melting because it's just like, technology is just making everything change across everything.
Well, every
and marketing,
day.
It's,
every
just,
day.
It's creating platforms and channels and things where we're just like, how do you keep up with it?
Yeah, so how does he keep up with
and
it?
And that's what we're going to find out. So you got 10 minutes to talk.
I got 10 minutes. Okay. I thought you guys were talking. Okay.
But Scott, thanks for hanging out with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so Pipitone, real quick, give us the pitch for Pipitone. You guys have been around Pittsburgh for a while.
Yeah, 27 years. Yeah. Started as a design firm. Now we're an integrated marketing agency that works with corporations and companies throughout the country. Today, actually, we had a nice little, there's about 40 people working on the north side, and we just added another group there that's bringing some public relations expertise to it. Push7 has joined our team there. So we're doing work, really great work, you know, across a lot of leading edge and some bleeding edge stuff there, but just there's a lot of customers that need to have an integrated marketing agency working for them.
They do. They cannot do it themselves.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why can't they do it themselves?
Because it would cost them a whole bunch of money to have the staff that I have. So we often say that you can rent our people.
I like the way, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but you probably couldn't afford to have them all there. But it's true is that we bring a wide bunch of expertises together to help supplement our customers. Many of our customers might have, you know, five or six people inside in-house agencies there, but, you know, do they have, really have a digital marketing expert in there? Do they have a marketing automation expert there? Do they have somebody that can actually do VR or AR?
And then your TikTok expert you're putting on board.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
Exactly.
Keep on it.
Well,
but that is a challenge within our business is keeping ahead of all that, you know, and bringing that type of talent because they're going to be looking for it because they're not going to be bringing that inside.
Absolutely. In the 27 years.
Right. What has changed? Like, how would you say, thinking back over the last 2+ decades?
Well, I think that people are looking for, they're measuring more. They're looking at that return on marketing investment. With all the digital type things there, we can track that person and we can track them all through their journey of their purchasing. You know, and sometimes it gets a little scary.
It's not so easy.
It's kind of sketchy too.
Well, yeah, it's a tad sketchy. You know, it's you know, because you can't be creepy.
Audrey and I have this idea. Audrey has this idea of we want to use Amazon purchasing information to do a dating service.
No, Amazon has a dating.
So somebody's already doing that.
Well, just saying, we want to use the purchasing side.
Doing it. Amazon has a dating service. Yeah,
They're taking the data, and you know what? We don't have the large customers like that are in the big B2C space. There, we have a lot of B2B customers and some smaller B2C customers that we are bringing that type of technology and type of data tracking to them to help them understand the buyer behaviors, and so technology has really kind of helped us do that and have better conversations with our customer to be able to test things, you know, A/B type of ABC, you know, kind of variety of different messages and that kind of stuff, but then being able to react a little bit more quicker than we used to. You know, before it was we were coloring, you know, as a graphic designer, you're coloring in things and making comps. You know, now, you know, and we were real excited when FedEx came on board, and now, you know, now it's instantaneous. My customer in LA is looking for that proof or that change, you know, done within the next 15 minutes.
Right. Very cool.
Wow. So how do you keep up? So what's your sweet spot? So if people are listening, they're saying, okay, Pipitone, what problems would they be solving?
I think our sweet spot is looking at the whole journey of where the buyer is and trying to understand that, then being able to put the right marketing tools or the right marketing tactics and strategies in place where they are when they're ready to buy. Because we often say is that we always, you know, as marketers, let's just hit them. But we were looking for when they're ready to buy. You know, so what are the signs? What are the signals that they're giving?
Hit them at the right time, right?
Yeah, like for instance, we're working with one customer that, you know, we're watching the behaviors of these architects and facility managers on their website, and when they are ready to specify one of their washroom products, we're talking about a soap dispenser or a partition.
Exciting stuff, like the partitions.
Very exciting, very important.
Partitions. And,
very important.
You need your privacy.
And that's stainless. And then, even the most exciting part, the grab bar. Okay, the stainless steel grab bar.
With extra grippers.
Yes, okay. But we can understand where that architect is in that journey when they're looking at it, whether they're ready to specify the product or they're ready to estimate that out or where they are, so that we then put the right types of case studies or the right types of tools in front of them. Even to the point now is that we are, when we know that architect comes back to the website, we're actually generating content for them specifically to where they might be or where they might have been in their journey.
That's insane.
That's precision.
Dude. That's what I'm talking
That's
about.
That's precision.
Because you think about an architect is that when they're working on buildings or something, it's not they're going to be doing a washroom in 2 or 3 buildings, or they might be working in
right.
So
exactly.
We look at that person as a specifier, and then how can we keep them informed about the offerings of the toilet dispenser and the
Whoa! Yeah. So are most of your customers Pittsburgh-based?
I think we're probably about a 50-50 brace. You know, we work for some big organizations here in town like Westinghouse and Presbyterian Senior Care and Nova Chemicals. But we also have a large contingent of our business is around building product manufacturers.
Yeah.
And they are, you know, Chicago, New York, New Jersey, Florida. And they're international companies, too. So we're for
love it, man. Diversify.
You remind them that your home is in Pittsburgh.
That's right.
So you're helping us Pittsburgh on the global map.
I think they appreciate our values here.
Do you?
I think they do.
Cool.
You know, as far as, you know, how, you know, the people that work within our group there, how dedicated they are to their business.
Yeah. So let's talk about some trends. Okay. What are you seeing going on out there? We got a list of some things I'm really excited to talk about.
Okay.
We're talking about things like personalized content and virtual reality. I mean, these are the data privacy and security. These are some pretty cool things.
Well, you know, a piece of, you know, is interesting. Facebook acquired Oculus, which is specialized in VR hardware last year, and they're selling a whole bunch of units, you know, millions of units around those things there. So, like, another one of our customers is in the, you've probably heard of them, Sloan. You know, they make urinals and other kind of washroom type
there's
of things.
There's a bathroom scheme going on here.
Going on here.
Scott, there's a bathroom scheme.
But they, you know, they're able to take those products, their products, and put them in, you know, the viewer and have the architect or the specifier see those products in actual reality.
The partitions aren't high enough.
That's being worked on right now. There's some. It's interesting about when you can take that whole thought about the actual BIM file or the drawing of that, and then being able to three-dimensionalize that, and then the architect being able to move that in the space, and then the best part about it is that actually then turns into a spec.
Wow,
that that's insane.
The distributor or representative can go off and print out. So, you know, it really is that virtual reality is not just a matter of, hey, this is, you know, cool. It's more about the fact of taking it into a commerce point.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, and in the trade shows that we go, especially in the architectural space, there's more and more companies that are doing that space, that are having people to be able to see and kind of feel their products in this space.
And then what about all the data security pieces and the regulations tied to that?
Well, I think, you know, what we had a big surge about a couple of years ago when the European Union put together the whole General Data Protection Regulation.
GDPR.
GDPR, yeah.
And I like saying GDPR much easier than
you have to remember, though, what it was.
But it changed. I mean, the penalties underneath that are amazingly steep and awful.
Right. But it's all outside of the country. So all of our companies, like one of the organizations is the airport that we do work with here. So we had to make their site compliant, Vitro site compliant, Bobrick's site compliant with that stuff. And California now is looking at making sure that all of theirs, because it really is, if you're just a U.S. company, you don't have to do that at this stage of the game. But as California is starting to look at it a little bit tighter, and so California is a bellwether state, and probably it'll be happening.
Within time, everyone's going to have those same levels, which is good. I mean, because at the end of the day, it's protecting privacy. But.
You know, it's protecting some. I believe some of the privacy that's there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like how do you use the data? You know, and the data that you get from the user behaviors that are out there. You know, and we've all been victimized by people that are just kind of assaulting us wherever we go and retargeting. But, you know, I think smart marketers are looking at using that in the right ways. You know, it's like, I don't want to be bothering you wherever you go. I want to be bothering you in the right places at the right times.
Exactly.
Yeah, not even not bothering you, but making sure that, you know, our brands are out there, that they have the product that you need.
That's when I like being marketed to, because when you know you're actually trying to get something done, then it's being helpful. But when it's
the whole automation of everything, you know, artificial intelligence is also being used for a variety of these pieces that, you know, that gives us, again, you know, kind of helps predict when you might be needing this thing. Like, we're using artificial intelligence for one of our customers right now to help them in their customer service side. That kind of uses a whole set of tracks there, and it keeps on learning about what these people are looking for and starts to give them the content. So it helps us save a little bit of useless, not to say useless, but then it keeps our customer service folks a little bit less, you know, busy on the more mundane things, but then gets them into the real problems that help sell their products.
Yeah, that's a new world of work. And so you're seeing that right before your eyes.
Well, yeah, it's happening all around us. You know, it's being used. You know, it's being brought into marketing much more than we thought.
All the way around. Like I said, this
is a whirlwind.
Yeah, it's a whirlwind,
isn't it?
It's a lot of stuff,
and you're able to keep up with it, which is pretty exciting.
Well, we have talented people within our group there, and, you know, and a part of our group, you know, are always evolving, ever learning, constantly growing while doing great work with great people. As part of our ethos, there is that we're sending people, training them all over the place. You know, we're sending them to trade shows and to learning pieces there, because you can't know it all, and you can't keep on hiring for it all. If you got good people, you can teach them. They can learn and they can adapt, and we all have to be adaptable.
Do you have any vacancies now?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I think we do. 2, 3, 4, maybe.
Give it a week.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Something else will pop up.
What's your website?
Our website is pipitonegroup.com.
Right.
And, you know, I think
it's perfect stuff. Yeah, go there and check it out. It's like impressive site. You can navigate through it quickly. You can see all the capabilities that you have.
Yeah.
And that's what Pittsburgh is all about, man. Growing this company here for almost 30 years. That's amazing stuff.
Yeah, started right here on the north side. Yeah, right above overlooking when it used to be Allegheny Center here.
And so now you see the north side, right? Yeah. Over 3 decades.
Well, over 3 decades. And one of my other part-time jobs is I'm the chair of the Chamber of Commerce here. Of the north side. North Shore Chamber.
Cool.
You guys
going to
join?
Yes.
You guys going to join?
We should.
I think we're members, aren't we?
I'm not sure you're on the list.
Look at him hustling us now.
Audrey, come on.
I like being hustled.
That's great. I love that.
We should be a part of that. Absolutely.
Well, you should be.
But it is.
As long as the dues aren't too pricey.
No.
you guys you actually worked with the Chamber and did a little podcast with some students, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
With the Chamber, huh? I'm trying to remember when that was.
Helping with the neighborhood.
Good stuff. Anyhow,
good.
We got to wrap this thing up because we're all out of time. I can't believe it. It's Scott Pipitone, pipitonegroup.com. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks for having me.
This is Jonathan Kirsten.
And this is Audrey Russo.
From the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. So glad you're spending your night here listening to Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsten with the Pittsburgh Technology Council. And I tell you what, I'm really excited about this segment because back in October, it seems like an eternity ago, but we had a really cool technology business trade mission that went to the United Kingdom. Really fun trip. We worked with British Airways on a great flight over there, hanging out with the Department for International Trade as a way to take Pittsburgh tech companies and show them the opportunities that are available throughout the United Kingdom. We were in London, Cardiff, all over the place. And we got a segment today talking to all the parties involved. It's kind of a complicated segment because we have some really cool folks all lined up who are actually kind of calling in today as well, too, which I'm really excited about. We're going to be talking to Nicholas Crone, who's the Vice President of Sales at British Airways, and Kevin Miller, the CEO of LegalSifter, who was on the trip with us. And, of course, you have Tim Crouch, who's the Director of Investment for the Department of International Trade, all part of this big kind of experiment that we did back in October, which was just a lot of fun. I think had some really kind of cool results at the end of the day, really kind of showing people that the UK is a great place to be doing business, especially if you're a tech company in Pittsburgh, as far as that is. And so really to kind of kick things off, Nicholas, first off, with British Airways, what's your background real fast? And tell us about British Airways and the excellent flight that we have that goes to London nonstop. We think it's fantastic. When that flight came to Pittsburgh, we were most pumped.
Well, thank you so much, Jonathan, for having me today. So so British Airways is the flag carrier for the UK. We have been operating for a little bit over 100 years. Our 100-year centenary happened last August, and we are absolutely delighted to be growing in North America. Last year, we actually announced our 5-year business plan, which was a bit ambitious, but we set a goal of becoming the best airline in the world over the next 5 years. And in order to achieve this, we realized our purpose was to connect the world with Britain and Britain with the world. And as a result, we needed to continue to grow our network, with Pittsburgh becoming the 30th city in North America that we operate daily to London. With that said, I think we wouldn't be able to continue to do this without doing it profitably. And as with any partnership, we wanted to invest in the communities we serve by supporting the growth of 10 tech startups from Pittsburgh looking to grow and expand internationally. So I guess the way I describe it kind of very similar to the Amazon virtuous cycle or flywheel. Essentially, you know, us supporting these tech startup companies that are up and coming initially with their travel as they look to expand, hopefully they can grow their business internationally. And as a result, they could continue to fly us and be loyal to us.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, the tech industry was just absolutely fired up to have this easy connection, because without connections, tech just doesn't happen. Business doesn't happen. And I mean, not only is it just a quick flight, but it's a comfortable flight. I know I talked to many of the people afterwards, and I'm sure Kevin will tell us about this in a minute. Just getting over there on British Airways is just it's a good way to do business, I think, for lack of a better term. And so how's the flight doing? I mean, obviously, I mean, it's doing well. You guys are happy with the results so far?
So far, so good. I think, like any new go-to-market strategy, we start off really strongly because we usually kick our new flights off at the beginning of April and May. So right now, in a couple of months, we'll be going on to a full year here in Pittsburgh. And so the summer usually is very strong. Right now, we are perhaps at the the period where we're most challenged, which is what we call our winter low season period. But with that said, we're, you know, chug along through and through, and looking forward to continue to build momentum this upcoming summer.
We're looking forward to having you continue to grow here as far as that is. And I also want to remind people that it's not just a flight to London, but it's a flight to the rest of Europe as far as that goes. So because from London, obviously, you can get to anywhere you want to get. And so that's why we're so happy here, because it's not just London, it's not just England, but it's also the rest of the world. So we're so glad you guys are here doing this. And so, Kevin, from Legal Sifter, thanks for hanging out with us. You were part of this trip, which I think was so cool that the British Airways hung out with us, and they actually provided us with a flight to take you guys. I was jealous. I wanted to go with you guys, but I wasn't allowed to go.
Oh, we're so fortunate.
I know.
We're so fortunate.
I was getting some of the reports back from the trip, and it just seemed like such an awesome way to first you got over there in style. You're there quickly, and then all of a sudden you're visiting four cities and really seeing some of the opportunities. What were some of your insights about the trip?
Well, first off, we're so fortunate to be able to have gone on that trip. It just wouldn't have happened as efficiently in any normal business operation situation without the support of British Airways and the Department of International Trade and the Tech Council. And, you know, for us, you know, the UK represents one of our top three target markets for our business.
Excellent. All right.
And we have clients there today. We have prospects there today and growing. And we want to open up our first office and establish a presence there by the summer. And so for us, the timing was perfect.
Definitely.
You know, we've thought about this as a three-step process.
Okay.
The first step was to orient ourselves towards where we wanted to be in the country. And I think the trip did that for us. Second is to hit some more numbers as a business, which we've done over the last 100 days to prep for this. And then the third is to go ahead and execute on the actual strategy of opening a presence in the UK.
That's so
and
exciting.
We're on track to do that.
That is what I'm talking about. And knowing you can get there super easy.
Yeah, and we get there super easy. So it's really a good thing for us.
I'm sensing this kind of works. If we take some people over there, yeah, to make some connections, you realize this can happen, and you're making that come through. So that to me is exciting. And I'm assuming – so, Tim, you have to be really excited that these are some results we're immediately seeing. We do this trip, and there's a really cool startup company here in Pittsburgh called Legal Sifter, and they're like, yeah, we're going to go to the UK and set up a storefront, for lack of a better term. So what do you think?
Yeah, could completely. I mean, firstly, a big thank you for having us on today. I mean, I think from our perspective, this is a story we hear frequently. And I think it's the story because the UK's approach throughout has been to make sure that we get the fundamentals right. And so that's things like a low corporate tax rate, making sure that there's good flow and availability of talent and labor. It's making sure that the UK is a really good place to do business. And so, you know, we like to make sure that the UK is effectively like Europe's premier product. But I think the other thing is making sure that we get the intangibles right. And I think, you know, talking today about the direct flight between Pittsburgh and London is a really good example of that, because actually those things also affect how businesses conduct their operations overseas. You know, you need that ease of connection. You need the ability to sort of get to and from a place. And I think the work that British Airways have done to open up this new route has been really tremendous, because it adds to those intangible elements that make the UK a really good place to do business.
Most of, and I've always told people, as we kind of discussed with a lot of companies I've dealt with over the years, that, you know, they have to go international at some point. I always say, like, why would you not go to England first? It just seems like a natural way to do it, because A, you got access to everything. The cultures are very similar. Obviously, the language is very similar. So it just makes it, to me, a lot more seamless to be able to go over there and say, here, I want to be in England in order to kind of get my international headquarters set up. So what else is England doing to make it enticing for companies to come over there and create a presence?
Yeah, so I think for the UK, I mean, a big part of our story is opening up our market to the rest of the world. That's what a big part of the 2020 cycle will be. We will be, making the most of the fact that we are now an independent trading nation, and that means making sure that we're an even closer trading partner for the United States. I think in practice, we've always been a very good fit, for all of the reasons you just said, a common language, actually a pretty similar business culture. And I think, the UK is an easy landing point for US businesses.
But I think the other thing that that's really important is actually we have teams in the Department for International Trade who make sure that that process is as seamless as it possibly can be.
Exactly.
So, you know, we'll help with things like, you know, understanding the relative cost of real estate and office space between London and Manchester and Birmingham and Edinburgh and Cardiff and so on. And I was really pleased to hear that the trip to the UK didn't just take in London, which is obviously, you know, it's an amazing asset, but it is by no means
right.
the whole story for the UK.
Exactly.
You know, the fact that it also took in Cardiff and Manchester was absolutely brilliant news. And I think from my perspective, that absolutely showcases what the UK has to offer, both the depth of expertise, but also the range of options that are available within the UK.
Very much so. And what I really love is the fact that DIT is this resource. You're almost like a Sherpa for someone over there, where you can really show them the ropes and get them on the right footing when they come in, as far as that goes. So, Kevin, have you been working at all with DIT as part of that?
So it's part of our plan to do that in Q2,
okay.
calendar Q2. So I've you know, we had this three-stage, in my head, a three-stage plan, and we just kind of finished stage two, which was, okay, are we going to hit the numbers that we need to hit as a small business to go ahead and execute on our strategy of
okay.
the UK? And we've now done that. And so, in fact, I just had a meeting a couple of days ago right before this podcast, and we said, okay, it's time to rev up the engines to get ready. Because
it.
we want to hit the ground before the summer holiday, if possible, and be ready for the back half of the year.
Just in case, I will lend you my Union Jack bow tie when you go over, because it gets you places.
Yeah.
Simple as that. But anyhow, I'm really excited about all this. I can't thank you guys enough for hanging out and talking about this, because once again, without British Airways, having this great flight, having the DIT to get you over there, having a cool tech community here in Pittsburgh that's looking to go international, these three things come together, stuff starts happening. Love being able to tell that story, guys. Can't thank you enough for tuning into Tech Vibe Radio tonight, spending a good hour of your time learning all about Pittsburgh's technology ecosystem. Just to remind everybody, if you want more Tech Vibe Radio, it is literally at your fingertips at any time you want. Just head over to your favorite podcast channel, whether that's iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, you name it. We've got a serious library of all types of Tech Vibe interviews going way, way, way back, so you can get a little history lesson about what's going on in Pittsburgh's technology sector. So anyhow, just to remind everybody, the Pittsburgh Technology Council has been around since 1983, helping your technology companies succeed. So many ways we do that, whether it's through visibility, through government relations, building new business, and finding the right talent. The Pittsburgh Technology Council definitely has your back. Keep tuning into Tech Vibe Radio every Wednesday night. This has been Jonathan Kirsting. Learn more at pghtech.org.